it's e
Got it.
it's easier to edit when it only shows the person that's talking, because yeah. when we try okay. to edit yeah with the whole all four screens, then we look really stupid, because then we're
she cuts half face. She cuts
oh, middle oh face. Yeah, okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, I got it. Yeah. Everybody's glitching, really. I'm actually kind of mad her name isn't longer, because I was about to call her by like a long version of her name. I was about to be like Brandy Lynn.
Okay, I do have a super duper long ass name, but
thank goodness you're not going to ever remember my long ass name, because that
Brandy Lynn Nicole.
Okay, Lynn's my sister. Lee. I'm Lee. I'm Leanne.
Lynn is my sister's.
You're Brandy Leanne Metcalf?
Yes.
That's a regular. That's a regular.
Yeah, that's regular. Mine is long.
I got
actually,
you
when I was little, I had two last names, because I used my stepdad's last name and my actual last name.
Mine's still longer than yours, though.
I had right? two last names for 24 hours.
isn't mine longer than yours, though? That's yeah.
I think so.
I don't know. Alicia Nicole, Catherine King, Sinclair.
I think we might be the same. Mine is Roland Antonia Flora Buenaventura Navarro.
Oh, wow. Mine's Jason Yay. Robert Altier Duquesne. <Let's go.
laughs> And then we have Brandon Land. Brandon Land.
Brandy Lee.
Brandy Lee. Brandy Lee. Brandy Lee Ann.
Brandon Lee. Don't Ann. Add names.
I'm like, eh. Yes, no. My sister.
You do have a really country name.
I was not named even by an 18-year-old.
Brandy Lee Ann Pamela Sue.
Pamela Sue.
Oh, dude.
That was my mom's middle name was Sue.
My mom and my sister's middle names are both Lynn. Actually, I think my aunt has the longest name. Her name is Mary Jolene Frances Thornhill Silva.
Grief.
Yeah. That side of the family's got some country ass names. Mary Lou, Mary Jolene, Hazel. Her name is Hazel Louise.
Jolene. Jolene. Wait, how Jolene. Many times has she been sung to?
No, she was named after that song. That's what she was named after.
What's this? For
fuck's sake. Probably dead or very low.
Huh?
All right. Oh, nothing. Danny was grabbing the other headphones so he can watch TV without distracting.
He doesn't want to watch us?
No, he doesn't give a shit about what we're talking about. If you don't remember, he is a Capricorn. They find it hard to give a fuck.
Whatever. Still.
They are already interested in... Hey, no, turn that off. You fucked it up. My computer's attached to those. Now you can hear them and I can't hear them. Give me that.
Hi, Danny.
They said, hi, Danny. They said, hello.
Here. You said they can hear... You said he can hear us. But you can't hear us.
No, I know. I grabbed the other headphones so I could.
Oh, turn it darn off. It. You did it too fast. We could have talked to him.
Yeah, you have to pair those now. Okay. We have too many Bluetooth devices.
You better get your shit together. You got 4 minutes.
No, I was fine. My headphones are hooked up and everything was fine. But he was using his.
That would be hilarious if we went AirPods. Live and it was going to him and he was like, tell him hello. Just say hello.
He's like, hello. He's like, I'm trying to watch Cobra Kai. I don't care what you're talking about.
I hear buzzing.
No, but he grabbed the other Who's headset buzzing? That I use and Who's buzzing? It attached to my computer.
Me.
Okay, put you it's on in my pocket.
Brandy Leanne is. She's gonna kill somebody. Watch. Like, bitch, if you don't stop calling me that.
Dude. I don't even remember the last time. But I know the last time I heard that full name was I was in trouble.
Wait, is with it my Leanne?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you said Lee. I thought it was just Brandy Lee.
Nope, it's Leanne.
Oh. I That's thought my Bella baptism was just name. Being a pain in the ass.
No, the Pamela Sue was the pain. The Pamela Sue was the pain in the ass start. That was the pain in the ass part.
I love really like old school Southern sounding names like Magnolia and Scarlet.
Yeah, okay. The only reason I have two middle names is because one's my baptism name.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Back in what the day, baptism name? Back in the day, you had to give the child a saint's name or something like that. So you're baptized, and then on your baptism records, it's your name, your middle name, your baptism name.
Pretty sure.
So is that they like didn't... the saint that's supposed to bless you or something?
Something it's because like my great aunt. So what was yours? Was aunt. Oh, Anne.
So Saint Anne.
Yeah.
What the fuck is she the saint of? To Google, I go. Y'all can talk. I'm about to Google this.
I don't know. I just know.
Why is my phone not turning on? Okay.
I'm pretty sure that my parents didn't do that because I don't think that they were able to fit it because my name already took like two lines.
So I guess like, St. Anne was Mary's mother.
Oh, see?
She was the maternal grandmother of Jesus.
So she became a saint just for that?
That's she is really special. She is the patron saint of Brittany and Canada and of women in labor.
Oh God! Thanks.
She's the patron saint of Brittany.
Her feast day is July 26th. You got plenty of time to set up and get ready,
right? Like, I never looked into that actually, dude. I just know that they gave me my great aunt's middle name.
Okay, we got 1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute. Everybody, 1 minute.
Okay, I guess
one more time.
Shut the fuck up.
1 minute. We need a timer.
And three, two. Oh, y'all can't see me point at you guys like on TV when they go three, two, and then they just point at you.
Wow.
Sorry. Babe, I'm taking your little fan so I don't die.
Don't die.
Give me the little fan.
Especially because we can't see you and we don't know if you're croaking.
Yeah, they won't even know if I'm dead or not.
All of a sudden, there'll be silence, and then we'll be like, Danny?
Don't forget to live to YouTube.
We are preparing to live stream. You didn't tell me it was going to take a while. I could have done it at 2:59. Setting up your meeting for YouTube live.
What is that sound?
That was my cuckoo clock.
I love it.
That's my Nightmare Before Christmas clock.
I love it.
I like how, never mind. I forgot we were live already. Wait, are we live?
We are live.
Okay. Hi, people. as we stumble into this episode.
Yeah, we are live.
Okay, fine. Getting there. Bear with us, as per usual. I woke everybody up early, so we're struggling. I woke everybody up early, and then I woke up late.
I know, I woke up late myself. Hey, everybody.
Hi. What up?
There's always one of us that's kind of lagging behind the others. It's usually me. So I was missing last week or the last episode, not last week. So hi, I'm back.
Yeah.
I was not doing fun, mundane things.
Oh, she watched that part.
Yeah. No, I think I read that. I don't know. Something happened. Well, somehow found out that's what y'all said.
It's what we call sarcasm.
Yes, I was not doing fun, mundane things. I was, actually, I think at the time I was getting my wall busted open by maintenance.
Yes.
I was not smuggling drugs in my walls. We had a bathroom problem. We had piping problems. Not those pipes. Again, not a drug-related thing. So. God. Can you tell I'm sober and all over the place? I'm going to be fixing that in a minute. But so Okay, my husband's throwing stuff. So today we are talking about what exactly?
Pop culture witch.
Pop culture witches?
Pop culture, yeah. Witchcraft, and paganism. And paganism, witchcraft.
And just to clarify, are we doing like people who use pop culture as their craft, or just like the craft as depicted in pop culture, or both?
Definitely not the craft as depicted in pop culture. We're really talking about, and I don't want to narrow our topic too much, because I think there's a lot of different aspects just in the short conversations that we've had amongst ourselves. But basically, the use of pop culture in either the religious aspect from paganism or the witchcraft aspect.
So like people whose patron saints are like My Little Ponies?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. This ought to be fun.
Yeah, that really just bugs me a lot, because it's like
My Little Ponies,
or like
right into it,
or like the like people are like, oh, Bugs Bunny's my patron saint. On the full moon, I'm gonna bake him carrot cakes.
I just saw Nins and dun dun dun.
Like that's Elmer right. Fudd is Sorry. Elmer Fudd is my spirit animal.
Dude.
So, take it away, Jason, because I know Jason has a lot to say about this.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So, people, from what I gather, is that people do that because I think of it as like a big middle finger to actual deities or that divine energy, whereas like when it comes to deities, I know like there are many different projections of the same divine energy, but the people who wrote those stories, they were not making them for entertainment purposes. The whole point of mythology was to explain how the world works and why things are the way that they are, not, mm-hmm. you know, for entertainment purposes. So, I mean, I can get if you want to use like fictional characters as like an archetype for empowerment, but to actually like want to worship or follow a cartoon character, like that's just like a huge middle finger to actual like mythology and powers that be, if you ask me.
I can see that, and I can see a lot of people having that type of attitude towards it. I have some, I don't want to say devil's advocate views, but I'm going to hold my tongue just for a bit, because and again, this is not actually in defense of, I just have another perspective, but I'm going to hold my tongue a little bit, because obviously I know that you guys have a lot to say about that, but what you just expressed there, Jason, you know, I know a lot of people share that opinion for sure.
I agree. Like, well, you know, when I first entered Amino, and I was like, posts of it was the My Little Pony thing of set up on an altar, and they were their deities, and you know, I was so confused for the longest time. I was like, all right, we've let toddlers on here, when that's all they've got, so I'm cool with that. But then when I got the explanation of it, I was like, that's kind of like, yeah, like Jason said, that's like spitting in mythology of all cultures and stuff, because, you know, yeah, I get it. Every Saturday morning, My Little Pony has some kind of lesson, but I find it really odd. I really do. Or those people who actually use, no offense to all the Harry Potter fans, but I've come across a lot of people who use the Harry Potter spells from the movies and the book as actual spells, you know? And it's just like, that's entertainment, not
right.
Let me speak on that real quick too, as the resident Harry Potter fan.
Better get her hat, hold on.
This already, stop talking. No, my thing is, and I know why they do it.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt because I just saw the chat. Did Bronycraft.
But yeah, so I know what and I've seen this before, they use the excuse of, well, a lot of the stuff that they used in the book was based on the research that she did in real magical practices. And that's true. Like that is true. But I don't think they're taking into consideration that it was still like, yeah, some of the stuff that she used was based in real occultism, but then she fictionalized it. Yeah. It is no longer real. That's like, you could take anything from reality and turn it into fiction. That's how fiction works. So yeah, but that is why they do it. I've seen them talking about it.
Right.
It's like, very much so, because like some of the words that she uses are based in Latin and stuff like that. And it's like, I get it, but you're still wrong.
Right. Just like in the original Charmed from 1998, those like little rhyming couplets, those are actually when it comes to actual like spellcraft or the art of incantation, those are actually like still perfect, because they are perfectly structured as like they state like what's desired or what's lacking and then what's desired, and then like just a little rhyming couplets make it fun. So like those are good examples for like beginner like incantation writing, but still like they are still fictional.
Yeah, well, rhyming couplets also has a psychological benefit as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Makes it easier to memorize if you want to not have to worry about reading off things when in the midst of spellcrafting or a ritual or whatnot.
Right.
Yeah. And, so yeah. No, and I totally agree, but I get what you're saying.
Has a good flow and a good unity too. I still use rhyming couplets.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Yeah. So I have a very, very, I don't want to say a detailed or complicated opinion, but I do have a rather strong opinion about this, but probably not in the way that people will think that I do, because I feel, as with just about everything, you know, that there are more deeper rooted and more detailed things about this. You know, I wholeheartedly agree with what Jason and Mountain Gypsy were saying about the slap in the face, the rudeness. And I think we already lost.
Yes.
Her. Okay.
Oh, real quick, just to clarify what's going on, we just lost Brandy. She was having a charger issue, so if we get her back, cool. If not, that's why.
Yeah, so I'll just blame everything on her. No, just kidding. Okay. But yeah, so I totally do agree that it is an insult, you know, to just religion in general, to a serious practice, and I'm just focusing on paganism right now, or I shouldn't even say paganism, on worship, I should say, focusing on the religious aspect of our discussion. Having said that, there are a couple of things that I just want to bring to the table to consider, and this is just for everybody to consider, not necessarily this panel here. And that is, when you have something that is, for all intents and purposes, fictional, you can, in theory, and Jason, you know, I think you're going to know where I'm going here very soon, you know, when enough people have that belief, when enough people have that constant thoughts projected towards that can eventually take on a life of its own, and yeah, at some point become an egregore.
That's so, what I was going to bring up too, like yeah, that the whole perception is reality, people believe in something enough and like it becomes real.
Right. Now again, more convoluted, yes, that, so you worshiping a character from Mortal Kombat, and maybe, you know, a few hundred thousand people doing the same as you, one day eventually, that being may actually reach egregore status.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to have to then counter my own counter, which is, yes, it's true. They can reach egregore status. And egregore status essentially means that they have, you know, like you said, kind of a mind of their own. They no longer are controlled by our thoughts and our wants and desires for that. They can start becoming literally their own being. But that, to me, is still, and no offense against egregores, I think egregores have a place, and I still have a respect for a being that is an egregore inherently, but that still, to me, does not put them on the same level playing field as a natural creature. And yes, putting a deity into that category, whether it be a deity or a fey or a daemon, you know, a number of these are ancient creatures that an ancient beings that have that are not a creation of one's imagination. You know,
exactly, they
are much deeper rooted origins for these.
And see, even without it being like an ancient entity, it could be like your grandma's spirit. Like, still, I would still put more weight on that than
pony. Because
like, even your grandma's spirit, like, even that can be considered, you know, an ancient life form or an ancient.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Like an ancient, what's the word? I want to say like,
well, just essence. Being in general, because your grandma could have lived 1,000 lifetimes before him.
Exactly. But like, these like fictional characters, like, they were created from the minds of people. You know, just regular people for entertainment purposes.
And from the serious side, just to reiterate again, I do believe that at some point, you know, if enough people have that belief in them, that yes, they could reach egregore status, and then over time they could continue to develop as an entity of themselves, and actually, you know, become quite, you know, quite a very knowledgeable and powerful entity. That takes time, though, and that will take continued belief. You know, right now, and here's the other challenge with that is right now these are fads, and a lot of people who are having this feeling and having these belief systems towards a fictional character may in essence elevate them to egregore status at one point if it lasts long enough. But we know, and I don't mean to sound rude, but let's just face it, we know that that ultimately the vast majority of the people that are looking at this as a trend will go away, and that energy feeding that being will go away as well. And so will that egregore even be able to exist long enough to grow in that knowledge and grow in that those abilities? You know, I don't know. But I think it's really, for me personally, it's really important, you know, when you start looking at bringing pop culture fiction into a religious practice or a magical practice, that as with everything and anything, that you completely, one, do so with respect of other religions and other practices, that you also know what you're doing and why you're doing it. So some of the other things that came to mind, you know, the Harry Potter spells, those are not spells. We know they're not spells. Having said that, again, my devil's advocate hat, the flip side to that is we all know that words of power exist, right? We all know that we can take any word that we want to and empower it enough and build it in its power and use it as a word of power.
Exactly, yep.
So if I want to take, you know, shabam and but if that really meant something to me, and I charged it and I used it continuously and built it up as a word of power. Any word can become a word of power. But again, just saying the words because you saw them on a movie, that is not a word of power.
Even
taking a fictional concept or a fictional spell or a fictional what have you, even taking that and having it translate into something that is serious, into the magical realm, into the religious realm, that is not just done by snapping your finger and saying it's so. There is work, just like with everything else in magic, that leads you from a wish
exactly.
to an actual manifestation.
A good example of that would be like Verbius Diablo. It's like pretty much a made up language, which is like all the ancient languages just kind of strung together, but there's a reason mm-hmm. behind it. It goes much deeper than just, you know, taking random words from these ancient languages and then stringing them together. It's mm-hmm. like, it's really complex. And there's a reason why these certain words are chosen and strung together. It's about the verbiage, the syntax, all of mm-hmm. that goes into it.
Yeah. Well, and this is where chaos magic really, I think, comes into play a lot, because chaos magic uses, because the essence of chaos magic in and of itself is basically like there are anything, you can make anything mm-hmm. work.
Right.
And so chaos magic has, you'll see there's no limitations, and you do see a lot of pop culture reference. But to me, again, it's all about how you approach it. So I think I used this example, and I can't remember if I said it in a conversation or in a or on an episode. But Harpo, the ritual with Harpo, it is actually a ritual that they perform to release one of the ego of the self. And the way that chaos magic works, if you've been watching the series, and if you haven't, that's kind of my hint of saying go watch the damn series, that, you know, it's of course all about belief and engulfing and immersing yourself in that belief that you must truly immerse yourself and believe it to be real for that moment in time. So I'm not saying that that chaos magicians believe that Harpo is a deity and that Harpo is real. I mean, he was real. We know he was a real person. But in that moment during the ritual, they do look to him as a deity. They call upon him. They act like him. They channel him it's a exercise to release their ego, to release themselves. You know, and they do that very seriously. They're not like, oh my God, Harpo's so cool. We love his curly hair and love the sound of that honk, 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 honk. You know, that's not why they're doing it, you know? And so to me, that no longer becomes like an insult. They are using basically what Jason just talked about, kind of a, what word did you use? An archetype.
Archetype, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're using the concept of a symbolism of archetype to get into that frame. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good to, like, you could use like those archetypes for empowerment too.
Mm-hmm.
Like a creating, what's a good word? Like a creating an image to kind of project out.
Bella, didn't you see you do something similar like that with Wonder Woman?
No.
Okay. I could have sworn you said something along those lines, but it was a long time ago.
Well, let me, I'll just to clarify in case people are like, well, then what did you do? No, Wonder Woman had to do with my realizing through the years of the presence of the Morrigan in my life. And I realized that she manifested or appeared, whatever word you want to use, to me in various forms that related to me during my age period. So it was Wonder Woman when I was a child. And then when I got into my teen and young adult years and it became Xena, you know, her representations matured as I matured. That's where the Wonder Woman thing comes in. But it did that, none of that hit me until later in life, where it's like, it was almost a, I don't want to say my life flashed before my eyes, but like I had this, you know, this just deep introspection, you know, time of really understanding and realizing and linking everything together and having that epiphany of like, oh, fucking A, she's been there the whole time. And when I realized that, you know, then a lot of things changed for me. So that's the Wonder Woman thing that you were referring to.
Right on. Right on. And the, like, with me, it's not really relation. Well, I guess it can relate to my craft in a certain way in terms of like building confidence. But like, there's some like fictional characters too who I would kind of like try to iterate or try to act like, just because like I feel like that's how I can gain confidence in myself. Like one that I use is Zelina from Once Upon a Time, the Wicked mm-hmm. Witch.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. when someone was like, oh, I used to be just like you. She was just like, oh, please don't flatter yourself. Like, I was like, yes, that's how I want to be. And I feel like that just kind of helped me like kind of gain confidence and kind of gain more control over my mind and help me like kind of overcome like fear of, I guess, people.
Yeah. I guess for me, you know, mm-hmm. my whole point in everything that I'm saying is that for me personally, I don't necessarily find the use of pop culture in religion or witchcraft insulting in and of itself. It really is more how it's approached and how it's used. Because like yes. I said, if it's used in a way like I described with chaos magic, you know, I respect that. I understand that. If it's used in a way like the example, again, that you guys brought up earlier of, oh, we heard a spell on Harry Potter. It's a movie. It must be real. I'm going to do it. Yeah, I find that insulting. Because basically, and it kind of goes along with the whole fad and everything, which is the assumption that this is so simple and all you need to do is say some words or light a candle and poof, I'm a witch, you know?
And see, and it's well, like, this well, real quick, part of that, I have like two different outlooks on that, because one of it is if you watch Harry Potter and you're like, okay, this is a movie about witchcraft and they did this spell, so the spell is real, I just look at you like you're really stupid. But if you go the one step further, which is the one that I see often, and it's actually the more irritating of the two, it's when people like do half-ass research and they look into it and they're like, oh well, JK Rowling, when she was doing her research for it, this is based on a real person and this is a real person and this spell is rooted in this real life spell and this word, this key word they use is actually rooted in this word from Latin and this is from this, and it's like, okay, you did some half-ass research and now all of a sudden you think you're a fucking know-it-all.
I mean, basically what you've done is just, you know, you've been become a connoisseur of the origins of the Harry Potter content, but that doesn't translate into magical practice.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
So it's like, that's the difference between those for me. It's like, one is like, oh, you're really just stupid and nothing you say makes a bit of difference because you're just role-playing. And then there's one who's way more problematic because they're going to share that. Like, oh, well, this was based in reality, so this is real. And now you're telling somebody else that, and they think that. And it's just, that's the more problematic of the two.
Right, right, exactly. Exactly. I think I saw something the other day too, that somebody was kind of using the genetics in Harry Potter to explain how like magic can be like passed down in real life as well, which I thought like that was really I thought that was kind of interesting. Like I don't want to say like it was stupid. It was interesting. But the way that they were explaining it was, I guess, just more or less like making, like, I guess they were trying to put it in a way that people can understand me. I guess that, like, that's what I got from it.
Yeah,
that's a horrible idea.
Yeah, and I understand. And you know what? I get what you're saying, Jason. And I didn't obviously read this. I don't know what you're referring to. But if I'm going to assume that if that was the case, I understand that. I really, though, this isn't me personally. I try not to use fictional stories to convey a point.
Exactly.
Because I know, unfortunately, there are people out there who will latch onto that and say, yes. Oh, saying that fiction is real. And it's like, no, I was just using that as an example, you know, to
right.
Sure, like, I understand, but it usually goes over people's heads.
Yeah.
And that really sucks too, because it's as somebody who is not only herself but surrounds myself with people who are really good at speaking and who are really good at painting a picture with words. It sucks that we kind of have to tone that down for the masses, because a lot of y'all are dumb as shit. And I mean, I hate to be that person to break it to you, but some of you are really stupid, and it's like, you don't get what a metaphor is. So you don't get when one hits. And some of them are really, 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 really good and paint a really good picture. But again, you know, a lot of us have to really dumb it down, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. I probably do it more so than others, and I don't even want to say the word dummy down, because it's not so much dumbing it down. It's more,
we just take all the color out of our speech.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. I mean, just really try to make it as clear as possible. And that's why oftentimes when I do use metaphors, I compare it to something mundane. So that you can
kind of have to.
Yeah. So that I know for sure that there's not going to be a misunderstanding of what I'm trying to say, but yet be able to illustrate the concept I'm trying to. So,
and I don't think some of you understand how difficult it is to be magical people talking about magical things to hopefully other magical people and having to talk in the most mundane of ways.
It does.
I need you guys to do better. I need y'all to get up and like learn what metaphors are and then start applying them and understanding them, because some of us like to really like paint pictures, and y'all make it hard.
You know, I think what I find the most offensive about pop culture, and it's interesting because I don't know if probably a lot of you did not. I did put the announcement in our community feed, so those of you who subscribed saw it. I did have the benefit of guesting on another podcast. And one of the things that he asked me was, he asked me if I don't remember the words he exactly used, so forgive me, I'm paraphrasing. But basically, he asked me if I found the portrayal of witches and pagans in pop culture, in the movies and such, if I found that offensive. And my answer to that is, I actually do not. That is not what I find offensive. What I find offensive, the part that I find offensive, is when people take that as fact.
Exactly.
And start judging us based on what they saw in movies, or judging what we do based on movies, or start doing what's in the movies.
I have a story that happened to me once.
And let me just finish my thought on that, and then it's all yours. But because what I don't understand, what I have a really hard time understanding, and it might go back a little bit to what Hestia was saying, is about, don't you guys understand metaphors? Which is, you know, that is literally what fiction is about. Fiction takes things that happen in the real world and then create stories from them. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of fictional books and movies about war, about living in the 1920s. I mean, you name it, there's a story about it. Yes, it is based on stuff that happened, but then they took that just as a scenario and they created a fictional story. And yet when you see that done with the occult, suddenly it's like that split isn't recognized. It's like it all must be true. It's like, no, they wanted to take the character of a witch, which actually does exist, and just create a story. It doesn't mean that like all of a sudden it's all real.
And it becomes even more confusing for the regular people when you take something, okay, like you have a person and they took witchcraft and they made it into a false story, and then a real, a quote unquote real witch then takes the fake witch from the fake story and tries to make that real. And now it's just this muddle of, well, it started in reality, then went to false reality, and then you made that into back into what's supposed to be reality. And now it's just like, okay, well, what part was real and what part wasn't? And how do I know? And why should I have to figure it out?
Right, right, and exactly.
And that's the part that it's like, if you're seeing something on screen or reading something in a book, unless it actually says, and even at this, unless it actually says based on a true story, or like this is based on facts, or this is not a, you know, actually, clue number
movies
one.
Movies that are based on, even if they're based on reality, a lot of that shit is fake.
Yeah, I was going to say, clue number one, when you walk into a bookstore, and if you're going to the fiction section for it, that should be clue number one.
Right? Like, do you know what the word fiction means?
Right, right.
Have you ever looked up the definition of fiction?
Right, exactly. And the story I had was, like going back to Harry Potter with like the gender archetypes, like in the Harry Potter universe, like a witch and a wizard are the same, the exact same thing. Just a wizard is the male of the species and a witch is the female. And I remember one time when I was explaining to someone, you know, about my practice being a witch, and she was like, "Oh no, you mean you're a wizard? Well, where's your wand?"
Wow.
And I was like, I'm done. I'm not even going to justify that with a response. I am.
The look of disgust on your face. Perfect. Yeah.
That is truly sad. Truly sad. There is one aspect that I see in pulp culture, witchcraft and pulp culture, religion, that I find doubly offensive, and that is the concept of God spousing. God spousing is a super serious lifetime commitment and expression. And when I see that I married so and so from Mortal Kombat, it's like,
Isn't God spousing what nuns basically do?
I tend to equate it to that only because that's like the best, easiest thing for people to, you know, understand and realize. But God spousing is, it is like nuns, it's a full commitment to X or Y deity. And it is a lifelong, there is no, like, that is until you die, your connection is there. You are devoted to that. You're in some ways becoming monotheistic at that point. Mm-hmm. So even if you are part of a polytheistic religion, God spousing, in essence, and I know it's much more complicated.
The chat asked what God spousing is. Is there kind of like a generic definition?
So God spousing basically sounds just like what the name says, which is you are marrying a deity. And so I in the past have used the comparison to nuns, because in Catholicism, nuns, they commit.
Min says, I find it the quickest way to see if someone is delusional.
Yes.
But yeah, so nuns, they commit themselves wholeheartedly, body and soul, to God. And they will tell you, I am married to God. That is who I'm married to.
Right. They promise themselves to well, because aren't nuns even, don't they sometimes refer to themselves as brides of Christ?
Yes. Yeah. Some do, I guess. But yeah. So that's why I use that, because I think more people know that concept as they do, you know, God spousing. But so it's kind of in that realm. It's that commitment and that connection. Some of the religions and some of the practices believed that with God spousing, then you invoke them and allow them to actually reside within you spiritually. So in essence, like, you're not really yourself anymore ever. You're always going to be kind of sharing your spiritual space with your God spouse, with that deity. But it's serious rituals involved, serious practices. And it is for obvious reasons, marrying anybody is a serious endeavor, right?
Yeah.
And so when I see people talk about God spousing with fictional characters, you know, you talked earlier about it being, you know, a huge slap in the face, Jason. I mean, to me, that is a super huge insult, you know. It's going back to what we were talking about the Met Gala or whatever, you know, when they came when you're dressed in
the Met Gala.
Met Gala. So yeah, where they came dressed in Catholic gear, all the Catholics got insulted, you know, and this is not in defense or against Catholics, but I get it. I understand why they were insulted, because somebody is taking
your
something
culture
that you consider very, very serious, and you're messing around with it and you're playing with it. Like, this is
you cool. made it a costume. You made their culture a costume, which is why, not to go on a tangent, but that is why people get mad when you dress up as Native Americans for Halloween. Don't make people's cultures a costume. Also, before we go on, apparently, if you want to get the chat popping, just say God spousing. So once we got on God spousing, the chat went a little crazy. So let's catch up real quick. So Nin was saying that she finds it the quickest way to see if someone is delusional. Most people aren't genuinely devoted. I agree. It's I'm starting to see that a lot in the world of Santa Muerte. A lot of people are like, oh, Santa Muerte, you bitch, you, okay. Anyways, and then Clyde says, that's drastically unrealistic. How can you marry a being of pure energy? G says, oh my God, I have known and know people who say they are married to some gods or goddesses. Oh, then they have told me they are also lovers to the deity. It makes my eyes roll.
That's a whole other discussion. The physical and the physical copulation. We'll get into that in a little bit, because I think that is worth discussing. But sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, I guess Nin says that somebody was told by a deity that they are together now. Like, the deity just popped up on them and was like, yo, you mine now, bitch, or something. Clyde says, okay. Delusional. Tell them to get a psych eval. Agreed. you should see somebody talk about that. Get it off your chest.
See, I wonder when people do that, if it's the actual deity yet. Or
that's exactly what came to mind. I was like,
hold on. Clyde just said, I mean, Poseidon was a sex offender, so was Zeus.
He's not wrong.
I agree.
Go ahead, Jason.
I was just gonna say, like, because I feel like sometimes with, like, the fat folk or the dabblers, like, maybe there could be, like, a lower vibrational entity that could come up and presenting itself as a deity and saying, like, okay, you're mine now. And they're just like, oh my God, okay.
Well, and that's the challenge, is because it could be a number of different things. Yeah. And I'm not claiming that I know that I'm intimately knowledgeable of every single pantheon, because, as you know, there's literally hundreds of them. But generally speaking, you know, that is not necessarily something that you would see a deity do. Like, they And again, very generically speaking, you know, they expect to see some sort of devotion and some sort of like, are you, show me you're worthy of me. It's so for someone to assume that a deity is going like, yeah, we're married now. That's just really weird to me. It's just
right without your consent. I just popped up. Guess what? I'm your
it doesn't,
wife.
It doesn't.
That sounds psychotic as fuck on and everybody's part.
And these actual God spousing rituals are just that. You know, they're rituals. They're you know, sometimes it takes months to get to a place where you are ready to, you know, to move forward and make that final connection.
Mm-hmm.
So if like 17 people all do this with Zeus, are you guys sister wives? Like, what's going on with that? Like, well, who gets him at what time? Like, if you guys are sharing, do you know how many people in the world there are? Imagine if everybody just chose one, right? Like, you don't think you're going to be a sister wife or brother husband or whatever we're going to call it, you know?
And you know what? As funny as that question is, at the same time, it's also very telling, because I can hear it now, what a lot of people are saying to themselves or answering, or if you asked it to somebody that they would say. It's like, well, what do you mean? They're a god. They can be in multiple places at multiple times. And,
oh, so it's an orgy.
No. What they're doing, once again, is replacing and putting Christian dogma into their viewpoint. Because that is the definition of an omnipotent being, an omnipresent being, which is what the God of Abrahamic religions are supposed to be. That is not what a number of gods are. There are a number of gods that actually can be killed. There are a number of gods that have not always existed. There are a number of gods that are not omnipotent. They are cookie cuttering them into Christian dogma.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that's even though that seems like an obvious basic question that would get people to sit up and go, oh yeah, maybe I need to rethink this. I guarantee you it's not, because they're going to apply Christian dogma to the reasoning of why multiple people can be married to a deity.
Mm-hmm.
Min says, I think it's a loneliness plus a slightly touched in the head thing.
As funny as that statement is, it's kind of really true. Let's face it.
And Clyde says, this is why psyche vows should be mandatory upon puberty.
He's not wrong there either.
Right? Just do it in the same week that they check you for scoliosis in school. We can do it all at once, knock it out, we're good. Now we know in middle school where you fall on this spectrum.
Yeah.
Some reason that kind of reminds me of, you'll see like some people on TikTok who've claimed to like slept with ghosts. Mm. Like, I just kind of get a flashback to like Scary Movie 2.
Right? Yo, that is one of the funniest things ever. Brandy says, because Brandy's in the chat. So Brandy says, we all know most of us aren't worthy. Right?
But, you know, that was a perfect
none of the gods segue. Are picking me, okay?
That was a perfect segue, though, Jason, into what about the sleeping with spirits, because, yeah, somebody else mentioned earlier about, you know, also having sexual relations.
Nin,
you know,
says, I don't want to be worthy. Facts. Sorry, that was too funny.
Zeus has a wife schedule. but having sexual relations with a deity, I'm not going to say automatically that that's possible or not possible. You know, I respect people enough to say that, you know, everybody's going to have their own experiences, especially with deities, whatever that's going to entail. So I'm not going to say, put my foot down and say, you're lying, or absolutely. What I am going to say, though, is that, kind of going back to what Jason alluded at, is you're sure that that's a deity you're sleeping with?
Exactly. Like, there's a difference between, like, who they say they are and who they really are.
Yeah. And also, are you sure you're just, it's not in your head? And I'm not trying to downplay anybody, but, you know, the reality of the situation is, we say this all the time, know yourself. And especially if you're younger, I know you don't want to hear this, but know yourself, understand your mental and psychological state. Is it really happening, or is this you? And if it's you, then it's you, then deal with it, move forward. And but I don't know, I think that the thing that's, that I don't know if scared is the right word, but that makes me wary of especially younger folks that are coming into this, is they're so naive and so like just believing of everything and jumping from automatically A to Z every single time. Like all of the possible mundane, regular, more simple reasons, like they just don't exist for that person. Mm-hmm. It goes from nothing to Zeus just got down on his knees and asked me to marry him. It's like, you know, all the other possible things that it could have been. Don't even want to consider it. Choose not to consider it.
Right.
And that's disturbing to me.
It is. It really is.
Because these are the people that are going to be running our governments in a little bit.
Yeah. And you gotta really, you know, go through the checklist and be like, is it this? Is it that? Is it this? Is it that? Is it Donnie Darko?
You know, granted, you may not want to go Bella level, but
you don't have to rule out Donnie Darko. Hopefully you guys get the reference.
You would have had to had listened to another episode, I guess. If it...
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's, again, that's the problem, I think, of the challenges, because it goes back to critical thinking skills. And we know that, generally speaking, you know, a sad statement on society is that critical thinking is a dying art. It's a dying ability amongst the human race. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's scary.
It is
scary to watch us living through the movie Idiocracy.
Terrifying. Yes. This really could not be real.
I used to find that movie funny. Now it's just terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. I want to cry.
My thoughts exactly. Yeah.
That movie morphed into a documentary about 10 years ago.
Rapidly. Yes. Yeah. And I'm just like, yo, this is not okay.
Oswin says we were all young and naive at one point. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I think the important thing, though, is to, number one, recognize that. And some people recognize that earlier than later. Some people never end up recognizing that. And that is the part that scares me about the human race in general, is that we know that some people will never get past that.
Right. Like
we see it all the time.
Like that childhood innocence can be, you know, a beautiful thing. I mean, because, like, you know, like you can see, like, little kids with, like, they grow up, they want to be a Pokemon trainer because they think Pokemon are real. And it's like, yeah, that's cute and that's charming. But then it's like when you have, like, someone who's in their 20s saying, like, oh, I'm going to be a Pokemon trainer.
Like, it's not cute when you're 47.
Right.
Yeah. And again, like I said, you know, I don't want to, me personally, I'm only speaking for me. I don't want to downplay anybody out there that truly, fully believes anything that we've said in regards to, you know, pop culture. You know, if they believe it in their hearts, they believe it. You know, I'm not here to try to convince anybody otherwise. You know, I just hope and expect, as with everything else, that they are doing their research, they're doing their due diligence, they are really exploring and understanding what they're doing, that they're treating everything with respect. you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And sincerity. And, yeah, sincerity. Yes, exactly.
And yeah, and just like what we were talking about, like when, you know, witchcraft magic, it gets fictionalized. Like, yeah, you know, sometimes there is some fact among the fiction. That's actually like kind of my hobby. I love watching, you know, movies and TV shows about witches and witchcraft. And I like peeling them apart, which people hate, because like they'll pause it and be like, okay, so this is how it actually is. And they'll be like, oh my God, Jason, just watch the damn movie.
But it's okay. I do the same thing with nursing too. I'm like, that person's not intubated. They have that tube in wrong. You know, like, so I get that. But again, it goes back to my statement earlier, which is to recognize and understand that you are in the presence of fiction right now, that they are using concepts from fact, from history, because that's what makes a good story.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that you automatically believe everything that's happening from it.
Right.
Take fiction for what it is, fiction. Enjoy the story. Enjoy the moment. If it's embarking on a subject that you find interesting, then explore that subject seriously. Don't consider that movie to be your source of reference.
Right. Exactly.
There's actually a saying where it's like, it's a sign of intelligence to be able to entertain an idea without believing that it is fact.
Mm. Right. I like that.
I love that. Who said that?
I don't know. I've known that quote. I've known it for a few years, but I don't remember who said it.
That was very un-Hestia-like. The normal Hestia would have been like, I said that. I did. Yeah. $10 if you want it on a diploma.
That's still
That's still old. What else about pop culture?
That's all I really know about pop culture, because I remember when I was in Amino when you guys were talking about it, and I was like, what's that? And then like you and Nin explained it to me, and I was like, I wish I didn't know what that was.
Right.
Yeah. The quote is by Aristotle.
Aristotle. Nice. Okay. Yeah. It's so true, though. It's so true. Yeah.
The actual quote is, it is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it.
Yes.
And I agree. It's one of my favorite quotes of all time.
Yeah. Because that is literally the whole point. You know, you have a subject matter, a thought or whatnot, you know, that is literally your mind cluing you in on, this seems interesting, let's learn about it, not let's just go by whatever we just saw.
Or even if it's not learning about it, even it's like, wow, that's super interesting. I know it's fake. I like it, but I'm just going to enjoy it because it's fake. Right. It doesn't have to be, not everything has to be super deep. Sometimes you just like Harry Potter.
Right.
Like that's all it is. I like Harry Potter. I like the storyline. It's engaging. I grew up on it, so on and so forth. I don't have to dig further into it and try to make it real to me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good. Like, I just enjoy. And that's the thing. It's like, I really hate that more and more people are losing the ability to let something just be enjoyable. You have to really like embody it. It has to become a personality trait of yours or something. And it's just like, why?
So I'm going to play devil's advocate here, because this is clearly not my point of view, but I've heard this from other people, particularly younger people. This was a huge argument, I think, from TikTok people, which is, you know, we're a younger generation, you know, what's wrong with having new ideas? And
nothing.
You know, just because it's not what you guys believe, you know, why is it wrong?
If you do it with some logic, I will give it, you know, some credit. If you have due diligence, you do your research, you do it with respect, and you do it with reverence, and you know, you do it with sincerity, and you present that. And even if I don't like it, I can respect that. But you just pulling something out of your ass and expecting me to be like, oh, that's great. No, I'm never going to do that. And nobody should. You shouldn't either. Right. You shouldn't listen to old people and expect them to tell you something and you just be like, okay, that's great. You should look into that too. It goes both ways. It's not just because you're young. It's because you're doing things very haphazardly, people who have done any kind of studying or research of any subject matter can tell when somebody has studied something or not, because of how exactly. much you know, it's how much you know comes through and how you present what you think you know. So
exactly.
We can tell, like, it's not that we just are trying to shit on you. We're just telling you, like, hey, you don't know as much as you think you do. You need to do your homework and you're not doing it. So you sound dumb. It's not
exactly
like, it's not that people are trying to be rude. It's just like you're working outside of your education level. It's like if you dropped out of school in middle school and you get a job that requires a degree, you're going to fumble that. You're going to drop the ball every time because you don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. You didn't get the training. You might like it. You might think it's cool. You might think you know a little bit about it. But when the pressure is on, you're going to be like, oh, shit.
And right.
Here's the thing to that. Here's the thing to that. There's actually nothing wrong with that. It's okay to say the words, I don't know. I need to know more.
Right, exactly.
That's more respectable.
Yeah, it's when people are going to respect you,
and people will actually be more willing to want to help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, I'm not going to pretend and say it isn't irritating when somebody asks me about a movie and says, "Is it?" and asks me if it's real. Of course, it's a little irritating to hear, but honestly, I am 20 times more grateful that they ask, as opposed to just assuming that it's real.
Right.
You know, because that's I've had people, you know what, in the podcast, the one that I guested at, I had several of those kinds of questions thrown at me, and he could tell that I was kind of irritated, you know, I didn't say this, again, I'm paraphrasing, but you know, it's like, my point was, I'm not irritated at you, but yeah, unfortunately it's irritating to hear that, because I know that some people don't take the time to ask that and just automatically believe that, you know? So I appreciated the fact that he was asking me to clarify some things. But one of the things that I'm gonna, again, talk about something that I said in that podcast that I find scary. And that is what a lot of people don't realize, what they don't think about initially, is how dangerous that can be to automatically very quickly latch on to fiction and consider that fact. Because I have a perfect example that I brought up in that podcast of how that can be dangerous. And that's what kicked off the 70s satanic panic. There was a person or people, and again, depending on the conspiracy theory that you believe, that were known were known as the Son of Sam. The Son of Sam killed in the name of Satan, were making sacrifices to Satan. Here's the thing though, when you actually look at Satanism, that's not what Satanism is about. What they did was they took the Hollywoodized representation of Satan and Satanism, and they made it real for themselves, and then started mass killing and becoming a serial killer. That ended up then, that's what essentially got the original satanic panic on rolling.
Wait, so Son of Sam was a group of people? I thought it was just one person.
Well, that's why I say it depends on the conspiracy theory that you believe in. So historically, it's one person. There's some speculation that it was actually a group of people. The point being, though, is that that's what they presented to the world. And so now, so they took a fictional representation of something that is real. And then the rest of the world looked at that and said, oh, that's what Satanism is. Oh, that's what witches do. And then you have the start of the satanic panic. And it was all because of somebody taking fiction and not bothering to look into it and actually taking that as fact and killing people. I'm not saying that all the fad folk are going to start killing people now, but what I'm saying is that's an extreme example of why, when you are watching a work of fiction, that you need to be careful to automatically jump from "that's real." Take a moment, take a step back.
Huh. I'm gonna have to look into that a little bit more, because I didn't know that the Son of Sam had anything to do with Satanism. I thought that it was like some crazy guy who thought that the dog was telling him to kill, but he also thought the dog was his dad and the dog's name was Sam. So that's why he was the Son of Sam.
Well, Netflix, there's a series on Netflix that really goes deep into it, you know, on But actually there's a few famous murder cases where the murderer was in essence Night Stalker.
Yeah.
He's another one. Mm-hmm. You know, they became the face of the occult.
I see. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And their perception of that, though, was based on the fictional portrayals of these beliefs. And because they made the news and they became famous, they became the face of us. And that makes it, you know, yeah, not a good thing.
Right. Right.
And if you, you know, even to this day, you know, when people say that think about it, when people say, oh, you're doing the work of Satan, blah, 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 honestly, really think about where that's coming from. It's not coming from the Bible.
Oh, no.
If you actually do the research in the Bible, it's not coming from the Bible.
Right.
It's coming from works of fiction that were then taken on and then perpetuated by arguably crazy people.
Right.
Then became the face of that concept and perpetuated the concept even further.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, to me, the most dangerous thing about people taking pop culture just at face value. I'm not talking about, you know, the people that are doing so with purpose and with respect and all of that, but just taking that at face value and running with it, or taking what's on fiction and running with it as fact, you know, the vast majority of them are not going to be that extreme and turn into a Son of Sam or a Night Stalker. But to me, that is the true danger of it. Mm-hmm. Because there's a larger chance of that becoming more of what the average person will see, and then only continues to perpetuate the misinformation about what we do, who we are, and all of that. Not that I have any interest in people completely embracing us or understanding what we do, but I do not want people to come at me with pitchforks because they think I'm about to sacrifice their baby to Satan, because that's what they saw on TV.
Yes.
Because somebody else decided that was cool, and I'm just going to be like that TV
show.
What,
Bella? You don't eat babies?
I mean, not recently.
Oh,
I mean, I eat duck babies. Does that count?
Duck babies?
But look, we eat chicken babies all the time. Did you have some scrambled eggs this morning?
Mm-hmm. So, I didn't either.
I don't eat very many eggs.
But
oh snap, Bella in satanic panic. Yeah, whatever. I know.
She also said David Berkowitz said a few things. He'll pray for you from prison. Now he's the Son of Christ.
This is true. Hold on, the discussion there.
Oh, hold on. Bella has a message from her boy. Says, Bella, your boy said don't forget about the love witch and how that sparks a lot in the last couple years.
The Love Witch.
That movie.
I'm not What's familiar that with that movie.
Me
I'm
neither.
Not familiar with it.
Because anything with the title Love in it, I'm most likely.
She runs. She's like, Love? Fuck that.
It's a movie. It was like an independent film that was like based in the 70s, and it was about a witch who would like do love spells on people. I think I actually didn't watch it. I just like read the
was it the description. A scary movie or a romantic movie, or what kind of movie was it?
I just remember seeing it and then like reading the description, and I was like, okay, this sounds dumb. And
okay, it says, let's see if I can find a little, this is what the little synopsis says. Elaine, a beautiful young witch, is determined to find a man to love her. In her gothic Victorian apartment, she makes spells and potions, then picks up men and seduces them. However, her spells work too well. Who's ringing? Oh, okay. However, her spells work too well, and she ends up with a string of hapless victims. When she at last meets the man of her dreams, her desperation to be loved drives her to the brink of insanity and murder.
Oh, okay. I'll watch it.
It came out the day after my birthday in 2016.
Oh, that sounds like something I'd watch.
It looks very old school. It came out in 2016, and it looks like that.
I mean, if she goes crazy and kills everybody, like,
I'll watch it. Look super retro. Looks super retro. Anyways, yeah. Actually, now I think I want to watch it. I wonder if it's any good.
My love Brandy, of my life.
Brandy, you're in the comments. Did you watch it? Brandy, if you are still in the comments, did you watch it? And was it good? Because it says it's horror comedy.
I might actually have to watch it.
We're watching The Love Witch tonight.
It's probably like, okay.
It's a movie that my astral son just talked about.
Okay, so I guess we can't really speak on that yet. So put a pin in that. Guess that'll be our homework. We'll watch it, and then next episode we'll give our opinions on it or something. Maybe. I might not watch it. I suck at watching movies.
Well, do we have anything else to say about pop culture?
No, I don't. Not really.
I don't either. I think I've covered everything. Opinions on it.
Before we wrap up, if anybody is in the chat and you want to add anything or have any questions or whatever, go ahead and ask. That way I can get to those while we wrap up.
Yes. Yes, please.
And as per usual, like the video, subscribe, follow us on socials, buy our books on Amazon.
Spread the word about
tell
us.
Tell people. We have
a goal to get ourselves to 1,000 subs
before the end of the year. 1,000 subs. Yeah, preferably before the end of the year, but really, really hope to hit that milestone before our next podcast anniversary/birthday, which is in January. So yes. Tell people, make your annoying little brother follow and subscribe. Make your auntie who's scared of witches subscribe. Views are views.
Yep.
Grab your mom's phone and follow. Don't tell her. Just let her find out.
Oh, also another announcement / question poll out there. So for those of you who are watching this or going to watch this, if you are interested in hearing an extra episode done about Doreen Virtue and the trouble that she has been creating for the occult world, let us know. All right, that's all I got.
All righty.
Well, with that, thank you everybody for watching. I know it was kind of short, but sometimes short is sweet. And stay tuned. Obviously, of course, we always put out videos in between, except for when we're lazy, like this week. But you'll be seeing some more videos coming out soon. And then, so until next time, I guess, we will We'll see ya.
Yep, we will see
ya.
Bye.
Bye.
So I know that we're still live. I don't know how to turn it off.
Brandy, where are you? Oh, okay, real quick, since we're live still, while Bella figures out how to end this.
I found it, yeah.
Okay, Oswin says, I would have loved to hear more about Doreen Virtue. I think we are going to do an episode just on that, right?
Yeah, that's why I was asking. If you want to hear about it, definitely let us know in the comments, because we're thinking about doing that. We want to do a little extra, an extra episode on that.
We're going to do a special little episode just for her.
Yeah. All righty. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Again.
Okay. Why does it say end? Oh, I'm recording?
Yes.
Now you're still recording.
Oh, that's right. I did record. Okay.
Oh.
All right. Anything else we got to talk about?
No, I'm going to go.
All right. Yeah, I have some phone calls to return. I had like 3 people call me here.
All right.
Okey-dokey.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.